A few weeks ago, a new TikTok-like social media app launched where all the videos were AI-generated. Users can comment on and share the videos, plus generate new ones themselves, including of people who look very familiar, almost like it's deepfaking. And now you're probably thinking, duh, we've all heard of Sora before, but I'm actually talking about Meta Vibes? What? You've never heard of Meta Vibes before? Maybe that's because while the new Sora app has often topped the iOS App Store list since it launched and is seemingly all anyone can talk about on the internet, Meta's AI app, which includes both the video generator Vibes and is also needed to pair your Meta Ray-Ban glasses, routinely fails to get even into the top 100 list. In fact, on my Android phone here in Germany, where AI apps like ChatGPT and Gemini are in the lead, Meta's AI is not even on the top list at all. Vibes, which broadly does the same thing as Sora, has generally been broadly ignored despite launching earlier, despite being more or less globally available for free on Android, iOS, and the web, while Sora is locked to only iOS and only the US and Canada, and also needs an invite code, and despite Vibes also directly connecting to gigantic platforms like Instagram, Facebook, and WhatsApp. It is mind-boggling that the social media company with billions of users has been beaten so badly at social video AI, especially when, in the last couple of years, all Mark Zuckerberg has been doing is spending any money that he can find on AI. They're spending up to a mind-warping $72 billion in a single year in just capital expenditures driven by AI, which, just for context, is more than the entire GDP of three different US states. They're building data centers that are the size of entire cities. They keep buying shares of AI startups like Scale AI for tens of billions of dollars. They've poached individual AI researchers with pay packages reaching $250 million per individual. And this year, Meta has spent so much money on AI that they had to take out what is essentially a loan for $29 billion. This means Zuck has ramped up the spending so much that, for the first time since I can remember, even Meta's insane cash flows couldn't cover what he's doing, and so he had to start borrowing money. Zuck has openly said that he plans to win by just outspending all of their competitors, and he also said that the potential risk to his business is actually that they might underspend compared to the others.
And if we end up misspending a couple of $100 billion, I think that is going to be very unfortunate, obviously. But what I'd say is I actually think the risk is higher on the other side.
In other words, the money printer in Meta went absolutely brrr, and yet so far, Meta's massive spending on generative AI has not really helped them win in any area that really matters. They're right now losing social video to Sora, Meta's chatbot has so far completely failed to take market share from ChatGPT, AI coding is mostly being won by the likes of GitHub Copilot, not Meta, AI search is unsurprisingly dominated by Google, and in the world of specialized AI apps, Google has had standout hits like Notebook LM and Nano Banana, while Meta's attempts, such as letting users chat with AI avatars of celebrities, have so far been spectacular failures. Really open weight or open source models were the only area where Meta had some early success, but here too competition from the likes of DeepSeek and Mistral has been strong, and lately the company has started to abandon its open source commitments anyway. Meanwhile, the firm has also reportedly chosen to completely abandon their next big frontier model called Behemoth because of disappointing performance, and so it seems like they're throwing years of hard work away. By all accounts, Meta has bet the whole farm on generative AI, but so far nothing really seems to have stuck. But Zuck's real hidden superpower is that he's built himself an empire that allows him to do exactly this, to take huge bets and to fail harder, bigger, and faster than any other, and then to just try again. He has carefully created unique structures that allow him to set tens of billions of dollars on fire again and again. This seems like a terribly wasteful strategy, until every now and then it actually works. This video is sponsored by Incogni. Technology and politics get Mark on any stage or in any interview, and these are the two things that he will inevitably have very strong opinions on. But listen to what he actually says in either of those fields just a few years apart, and the only thing that you can guarantee is that those opinions will have radically changed over even such a short period of time. The most memorable shift for the average onlooker likely came from Zuck's most recent political pivot. He now unconditionally praises President Trump. He suddenly thinks that online platforms should not moderate speech. He has developed mixed reality helmets for the US Army together with Anduril, and he loves to talk about how China's rise is America's most urgent threat. Mark now likes to present these opinions as self-evident, but not long ago, he banned Trump from his platforms after the January 6th attacks. Until recently, he was also very much in favor of speech moderation. He also fired Palmer Luckey, the head of Anduril, from Meta, likely over disagreements. He used to actively refuse to work for the military due to supposed moral implications, while not that long ago, Zuck also personally went on an all-out charm offensive to court China. Here he is flexing his Mandarin skills in Beijing, for example.
Facebook is for学生用的, so it's always important.
If you're wondering, in this speech he had pretty terrible pronunciation, but actually surprisingly decent Mandarin for a new learner, and that's not all. The speech was held in Beijing's famous Tsinghua University, where he got appointed as a board member, and that same year he also reportedly asked Xi Jinping to, name his unborn child. Extremely normal. As former colleagues have since revealed, conquering China was Zuckerberg's white whale, the thing that he wanted but could never get, and he reportedly also offered many times to help censor content and to share facial recognition technology with the Chinese authorities. I've only picked out a couple of the, quite frankly, mind-blowing political shifts that Zuck has gone through, and this ability to do a complete 180 turn when faced with a new situation is something that Zuck has carried over to his product strategy as well. We've already discussed how he recently all of a sudden went all in on generative AI. But what you might not have realized is that even within this field, Zuck has already gone through one massive pivot. See, initially his big pitch was that unlike everyone else, he was going to build open source AI and that this openness would give his firm an unbeatable advantage. He claimed again and again that open source projects like Linux and Chromium over time came to dominate everything from servers to smartphones as they allowed developers to tinker with them and to build their businesses on top of them with greater confidence and flexibility. He said that by Meta making massive investments into AI models and then opening those for collaboration, this would lead to inevitable victory as well, and so he hired a team and ran with this approach. Now, many people questioned just how open his models actually were in reality, but at least on paper, this was at least a compelling idea. Except, as we've seen, in practice, this didn't really seem to work. Meta was actually starting to fall behind the competition, and so Zuck has already announced that they're actually going to pivot again. A few months ago, he completely reorganized his team, he fired and rehired people for a second attempt, and essentially, he gave up on the original open source focus. Instead, in July, he announced that personal superintelligence would be their new focus. It's too early to tell what this will actually mean in practice, though Zuck seems to think that the winning strategy will be to have an AI that knows you very personally on a deep level. By all accounts, this is a huge change for the company internally, and I guess we'll see soon enough whether it works or not, but this is also entirely in line with how Zuck has done his pivots in the past. Before his first AI obsession, Zuck announced in 2021 that his firm was going to go all in on the metaverse. Remember that? Today this is really only seen as a kind of bad joke, but it's hard to overstate just how serious Mark was about this.
I believe the metaverse is the next chapter for the internet, and it's the next chapter for our company too. So I've been thinking a lot about what this means for our company and who we are as we embark on this journey.
I hate this so much. He renamed his whole company over this.
I am proud to announce that starting today, our company is now Meta.
His Reality Labs division, which built the hardware and the software for the metaverse, lost an ungodly amount of money, somewhere around $60 to $70 billion over the tech so far. He somehow convinced many other business people that the metaverse is going to be huge too. JP Morgan hilariously bet that the metaverse is going to be a $1 trillion yearly opportunity as it became the first bank to open in a virtual world, while Citibank somehow made an even more ridiculous statement than that.
The metaverse could have around 5 billion total users by 2030, creating a target addressable market worth as much as $13 trillion.
5 billion people, $13 trillion. These are numbers that are so ridiculous, I don't even really know how to put them into context. Like, Meta, the entire company, not just the Reality Labs division, the entire company in the year that this statement was made, their revenue was less than 1% of $13 trillion. How on earth would they have gotten to $13 trillion by 2030. That is so ridiculous. Anyway, importantly, Zuck's definition of the metaverse was not just VR, which has happily existed as a niche of its own, but essentially a digital world where everyday people would put on a headset and spend many hours a day socializing and hanging out with others, but also own objects and virtual land in the form of what else but NFTs.
Commerce is going to be a big part of the metaverse. You'll be able to sell both digital and physical products.
More than anything, this metaverse was supposed to be embodied by Horizon Worlds, Meta's social hangout space, and other experiences that would see people hanging out and also working remotely in Meta's virtual worlds. Mark very clearly completely drank his own Kool-Aid on this, and yet I've had a hard time finding anything in recent corporate history that has had the worst return on investment so far. While the costs in Reality Labs, which includes both the Quest and the smart glasses lines, has continued to balloon, revenues have simply not picked up at all. And as a reminder, these revenue figures also include the Meta Ray-Bans, which have supposedly been popular from around 2023 or so, and that means that the sales of Quest headsets had to have been particularly disappointing. People who do buy the headsets famously typically get bored of them very quickly, leading to very low retention rates, and while some third-party social spaces like Gorilla Tag and VRChat have at least found some dedicated fans, Meta's own flagship product, Horizon Worlds, which cost billions to develop, is basically a ghost town with nothing compelling in it to do. So that was Zuck's last big spectacular pivot before the current AI boom, but if you look further, there's actually plenty more. There was, for example, Libra from 2019. Or maybe you remember it as Diem because it was renamed to that a while later, or maybe you don't remember it at all because of how badly it flopped. Anyway, it was Zuck's biggest obsession before the metaverse, and he essentially pitched it as a global currency based on what else but the blockchain. His company would develop a digital currency in collaboration with others like MasterCard, Visa, and PayPal, and all of them would act as a sort of central bank for the world. I made a whole video about Libra back when it came out in case you want to immerse yourself in some retro insanity, but yeah, it never really went anywhere. But then go back even further and there's the Facebook portal, which was supposed to take on Amazon Alexa when people thought that ambient computing was going to be the next big computing category. Or hey, for a real nostalgia trip, do you remember when Facebook wanted to essentially make phones just as those became popular? I got my hands on this cute little guy for the video, which is called the HTC Cha-Cha, and it was one of the few attempts by Zuckerberg to try to skin Android phones into becoming vehicles for Facebook services with special buttons and integrations all over the OS. Unsurprisingly, and thankfully, that never really worked either. And I could keep going on with the pivots, but the point is, Zuck loves to make dramatic shifts whenever he senses that there is a change in the political or technological landscape. He is absolutely not afraid to commit unthinkable resources behind many of these projects, and if they don't work out, he just tries again with something completely new. Now, at this point, you're probably thinking that these constant pivots, which also seem to fail spectacularly usually, can't possibly be a sustainable strategy. But I actually think that Zuck is uniquely well set up to just keep doing them. To begin with, while Zuckerberg owns only about 13% of Meta's stock, he actually controls around 60% of the vote. He insisted on keeping it that way in the early days and has managed to retain complete control over the company since, meaning he essentially can't be fired. While most other tech giants like Apple, Microsoft, and Google have professionally appointed CEOs whom shareholders can vote to fire if they waste a bunch of money, the same is not true for Zuck, and so he can afford to take much bigger risks. And then also unique to Meta is just how insanely profitable their core business has been for decades. Facebook and Instagram have changed surprisingly little since their ad-based business models were implemented, and they continue to throw off so much cash that they allow Zuckerberg to just finance whatever the hell he wants. It doesn't matter if a bet on the metaverse or open source AI or cryptocurrency burns a couple of billion dollars or even tens of billions, because Meta can quite frankly afford that, then even investors don't really seem to care. And meanwhile, Zuck, I think, is also unique in having a personality that is well suited for this constant pivoting. He clearly seems to be able to just throw away former beliefs incredibly easily, be those political, moral, or technology related. While most people would have trouble convincing themselves or their employees or their investors of a completely new direction every year or two, Zuck clearly doesn't. And so this combination of a uniquely flexible personality and insanely profitable core business, plus control over voting shares, allows him to just make massive bets again and again until something at some point just sticks. Which, will anything ever stick? I've so far talked a lot about Zuck's failures, but I think many of his long-term bets are slowly coalescing into something that might actually work. I'm talking about Meta's smart glasses, of course, which are the first product category from Meta in years that I think both has real potential, and is also a category where Meta seems to be truly ahead of the competition, at least for now. It is very much early days for these, so success is far from guaranteed. Google and Apple are aggressively rolling out their competing products now as well that I think might have some unique advantages due to being tied into their existing device ecosystems, but it's clear to me that Meta has a really promising product so far. If you've ever talked to people who actually bought these, you'll almost certainly have heard that the people really like them, and while sales are still in the low single-digit millions, growth very much looks exponential for now. To be fair, Zuck has said many times that the success of these glasses were originally quite a surprise for him. He has clearly stated that he thought the mass appeal for glasses and headsets would only come once they could project rich 3D environments using complex displays, and once they could map their surroundings with multiple cameras, etc. You know, the metaverse stuff, whether it's through VR tech from the Quest line or AR tech like the stuff that we've seen in Project Orion. These simple glasses were just supposed to be kind of tiny stepping stones on the way to those. The basic ones don't even have a display, and while the more advanced ones do have a very simple heads-up display, that only shows little bits of information like notifications. And yet, it's these relatively simple devices that appear to have shown by far the most traction so far. The ones with not a whiff of the metaverse anywhere around them. And while sure, it took some massive failed bets for Meta to almost accidentally get to this point, it's also true that some of the stuff that they've developed over the years did become really useful here too. Meta's Neural Band, which lets you precisely control your glasses, kind of like a virtual mouse by reading your muscle impulses in your arm, was originally designed with more complex devices in mind, but has actually turned out to be super useful for simpler glasses as well. And similarly, while Meta likely wasted tens of billions of dollars on AI projects that often flop, hey, their glasses now do have an AI assistant built in that's actually reasonably useful and will likely get much smarter over time too. In a way, Zuck just has to fail enough times until he eventually strikes gold. Now, I'll be honest, I'm not rooting for them to win, because I don't personally want to live in a world where AI-infused privacy-invading face cameras are a commonplace from Meta, no less. Because then to remove Zuck from my life, I'd not only have to convince myself not to wear one, but also everyone else that I interacted with, which seems like a really daunting task. But hey, if there's an arms race of corporations trying to capture all of our data online without our consent, there's now also a counter arms race in trying to get all of that data deleted. And our site just got a major new upgrade. By now, I bet you've heard a traditional old pitch for Incogni. This is a company that contacts data brokers on your behalf, and they request that those delete your data. Incogni, of course, continues to do that, and they've already, for example, removed my information from those databases over 200 times. But actually new with Incogni is now a service called Custom Removals. On top of all the hidden databases that Incogni finds you in, you can just Google your own name for public mentions, and if you find it on a site that you don't like, you can paste a link to it right into Incogni. And then their team of privacy experts actually go about contacting that site to remove your information from it. And with an unlimited plan, you can even submit as many links as you want. Meanwhile, Incogni is also proven to work. It is the first personal data removal service to be independently verified by Deloitte, which confirms that they actually remove personal data from hundreds of databases and also keep following up with them to ensure that you don't get added back as soon as you get deleted. This is an ongoing process, which is why Incogni is a subscription, and if you're wondering why these data brokers would even honor your requests once you ask them to delete your data, it's because in these countries at least, doing so is actually mandatory by law. And to sign up, be sure to use my code TECHALTAR to get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan. That is incogni.com/TECHALTAR for 60% off, and I'll see you next Friday.